on the stay-at-home edition of Chicago Beer Pass. Nick and I get on the phone with Sherry and Jerome from Bold Dog Brewing to hear about their latest adventure over at Sam Adams, how they're dealing with the shelter in place, what's happening at District Brew Yards, their delivery, the beers they got coming out, and just generally catching up and having a beer. Hopefully you enjoy this episode. Hopefully you're enjoying these virtual chats we've been doing, and we'll keep them going as long as we can. Let's get into it. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got our first ever phone-in guest on the podcast.
You know, quarantine version.
Skype in.
Yeah, we got the Bold Dog duo here. How you guys doing?
Good. Sherry from Bulldog Beer Company.
Jerome from Bulldog Beer Company.
I don't know why we're cheering.
Yeah, no one can see us. Cheers.
No. We can. Virtual. It's a virtual cheers.
Yeah, there we go. We did a virtual power hour on Saturday that didn't really work out, but
no, it worked
we
out.
Tried.
It worked out wonderfully. Neither one of us remember.
Going to bed. Yeah.
I think we went to bed at 9 that night on a Saturday. Because
after your power hour?
Yeah.
Well, Nick was talking about this bar crawl people are doing in their house. You put a different beer in your room, in different rooms, and you go to it.
Yeah, you get it to the beer festival. You drink a different beer in every room, so you can sample all different ones.
It's not a bad idea,
it's actually really fun.
Yeah, man. We were saying last week, man, you know, I kind of envy those suburb guys that have a lot more room. You know, they probably have, if you've got a house in the burbs, you're doing all right, man, you know.
We talked about that in detail. Like, so there's three of us. Obviously, you know, we have our 7-month-old.
But then we also have two bulldogs and a cat.
Yeah, we have two bulldogs and a cat, and we have a pretty small apartment, and it is.
Oh wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a bit much. We've started like.
Thank God, and I've said this to Jerome. Like, you know, as you guys know. We're married. We've been married for a little bit now. We obviously enjoy each other's companies. I am so happy we have a duplex down where one of us can go downstairs and the other one can stay upstairs because it is so nice having just like that little bit of space. Where it's like,
well, I mean, really, it's just not sharing a TV, honestly.
Yeah.
I go downstairs and
we play video games.
Yeah, we have a projector in our basement, so I play Doom on a 76-inch projector, and then she watches trashy TV upstairs. So it works out.
That's kind of how it works out here for me, but just not separate floors, just different rooms. I'm like, all right, you're watching that thing, I'm in this room.
Yeah.
That show sounds terrible. I'll go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's everyone drinking? What are you guys... got on in the glasses or cans?
Well, shameless plug. I got this beer from this up and coming brewery we're not on video, but this up and coming brewery Bulldog called Who's a Hazy Boy. It's a hazy IPA with Simcoe and Citra.
Nice.
And I really enjoy it.
And I have Sunday Night Couch Cuddles. It is our IPL, so our India Pale Lager. Belmont Steering Wolf Hops. So we've changed the recipe on this beer a couple times. This one, I keep telling Jerome, he keeps being like, I want to tweak it just a tiny bit more, and I am not letting him. It is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It is so nice. It is so crisp and wonderful, and I'm obsessed with it.
I mean, this is truly my it's weird to say because, like, I have definitely shifted from, I guess, the pop, not popular styles, but I'm drinking a lot more lagers. I really am drinking lagers a lot more. Mm-hmm. And this is my current favorite lager. For a while, it was probably Burnt City's Two-Headed Boy. I really love their Pilsner, but we finally dialed this recipe in where I'm so proud of it. I'm so happy with how it turned out. I absolutely love this beer. That's going to be my next one, actually.
What about you guys?
Nice. Yeah, I have the Sketchbook Insignificant Clearance. It's a hazy IPA, 5%. So nice and light, easy drinking one.
Right on. I'm going with the Foreign Exchange. It's Foreign Chemistry. So this is Citra and Amarillo. So this crew is brewing out of Church Street.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So this is our second offering. I think they had something called, I want to say, Kitty Wampus. And it was like a 9.5%, like, you know, it was like a Imperial Porter with, you know, like vanilla and coffee or something.
Yeah, I think I'm a member of the Chicago Craft Beer Alliance on
Facebook,
and I thought I saw quite a few people posting about that on that Facebook group.
Yeah, that was a fun beer. And then this is the second offering. I don't know much about these guys, so I mean it's kind of cool, you know, just still learning. You know?
Yeah, from what I understand. He was a home brewer, and I think that if they're contracting out of Church Street, I believe that's a new development. Because I think like a month or two ago, they were just brewing on a fairly small system, like maybe a one or two barrel.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought I saw their
founder
or, you know, head brewer or whatever. I thought I saw him post something in the group where he was in like a one or two barrel match ton, stirring stuff up.
Oh, geez, okay.
That's about all I know.
That's cool.
And
yeah.
I could be completely wrong. I really don't know.
Usually.
I'm not.
It's a lot of grapefruit. It's old school, like it's a DDH, but it's like old school, a lot of lemon, a lot of grapefruit. So it's cool, though. It's not bad.
That's interesting that you said you're like going to a lot more lagers right now. I've seen on Twitter people talking like, oh, just crushing lagers at home. It's like almost like a comfort thing at home for people.
I feel like a lot of people started their like beer journey with a lager. I mean, you started it probably with an American light lager. You started it with, like, I know for me the first sip of beer I ever had was a Rolling Rock because my dad was all, you won't like this, try it. And I was like, I bet I will. And then I went to, like, you know, Busch Light when visiting my sister in college and high school. And I wonder if that's maybe it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is your guys' show, but I have a quick question.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is your favorite?
No questions, bro.
Trash beer. Like, I love Old Milwaukee, and I drink a lot of Old Milwaukee in college, but I don't know. Like, I don't think Milwaukee actually tastes that bad. When people ask me, like, what's the beer that changed your mind about beer, I tell them Budweiser all the time. I get some dirty looks for that, but it's 100% true because where I grew up, we drank nothing but Keystone Light, and Keystone Light tastes like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I had a Budweiser, I was like, whoa, this is totally different. Budweiser was my favorite macro for a long time, but I will drink a lot of Old Milwaukee, and I'll drink a lot of Busch Light, too.
Yeah,
I hear that.
Yeah, trash beer. Or I'll drink High Life, and then like Old Style is like kind of would be my trash beer.
Well, I shouldn't say trash beer. I should say macro.
Yes.
Macro. That's a good one. You know, whenever Brad brings those Coronitas in the little bitty bottle, like I get excited about those. I used to work a shift, and all the guys would always crack those open. You know, the 7 ounces, they never get cold. I mean, they never get warm. They're always cold. But then, you know, Bohemia is pretty good, too. Like, after a while, you're sick of Coronas, and it's like, then you go to Pacifico. But then I landed on Bohemia, I think, for, like, the Mexican lager.
Yeah, I love Pacifico.
That's my
favorite Mexican lager is Pacifico. Tecate is not bad, but...
I like Tecate. I like Dos Equis. I like it because it's maltier.
Double Jack Hughes. Yeah. I went taking it back, man.
Anytime I go on a cruise, I used to go on cruises a lot a few years back. And anytime I would be on a cruise, it would either be I would drink either bourbon on the rocks or Dos Equis.
Okay.
Or amaretto on the rocks for some reason. That would always be like cruise go to drink. Mostly because no one would ever order it, so they would price it cheaper.
Nice. Drinking amaretto is great. Yeah. It's not like.
Yeah. I think if I'm stuck somewhere, you can always find. You know, you can always find Knob Creek no matter where you are in most cases. Yeah. You know, and you always find Miller Lite. So
yeah.
I think if I'm doing a shot and a beer, I'm probably shooting. Whatever I'm shooting, I've probably got a Miller Lite if I'm in one of those scenarios where I'm just in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
I would do a Miller High Life or a Coors Light, I think. Those are my ideal trash beer. No,
if I can't get a Bud Heavy, I'll probably do if I can't get a Bud Heavy or a Busch Light, I'll probably do Coors Light.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways, let's talk about craft beer because this is the Chicago beer and this is usually about craft beer.
Yeah. See, you two have had maybe the craziest year out of anybody now at this point with the District Brewyards baby and then the most recent like Sam Adams thing.
Yeah, talk about lagers. Yeah,
so
that was a gateway drug for me. Yeah,
yeah. We are about a year.
It'll be a year
since the start of our craziest year of our lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like the
so far.
Yes.
District Brewyards was it April, May, right when it. Kind of
April 14th. Yeah. So that's, you know, an unfortunate situation about what's going on with the pandemic is we really wanted to celebrate 1 year of District Brewyards, but we're shelter in place until April 30th. I mean, it's a bummer, and I think we'll do something big once we're able to open up. Actually, I give you guys a little hint.
Ooh,
not going to say anything, but we do have something very big in the works that will probably be announced in the next week or two.
Always do that.
I know, but
I was like, we have really cool news.
We do.
Can't tell you.
We really do. I obviously
it's not an us thing. It's a District Brewyards.
It's not an us individually. It's a District Brewyards, and I feel like I just think it's going to take the. I think it's going to take Brewyards to a whole new level. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. I think it's going to change everything. Honestly,
sorry about vagueness.
I mean,
this guy.
If you really, really wanted to know, you could. Probably drive by DBY and see a new sign.
Oh man, I just walked past that today, and I didn't even think about like inspecting it.
But if there's a sign that tells what the surprise is, then you can figure out what the surprise is because I was watching it get installed earlier.
Uh-oh. All right, I'll have to look next time I'm out.
Oh wow.
So how has that been with the, you know, District Brewyards being shut down now? Like, draft sales was the biggest thing. Like, you guys were going through so much beer at that place.
We were going through a ton of beer. The awesome thing is the outpour from just, like, the general, like, public of people who support DBY has been absolutely incredible. The first week of the shelter in place, we had an absolute record for
retail shop sales.
Okay. A lot of people came in and bought cases of beer. Even still, I mean, how many 49 four packs of Hazy Boy were sold this week?
52 four packs.
So,
and we only released that. It was only available in the shop from Thursday
until today. Well, starting
Thursday. we've been closing the retail shop on Sundays and Mondays, so we sold 42. Four packs of Hazy Boy on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, basically. So, I mean, that was huge for us.
Yeah.
You guys were kind of. I know other breweries were selling beer to go, you know, before all this happened, but you guys are one of the first crews that come to mind when you think about breweries that were going out of their way to promote the fact that, hey, you can have this delivered to you. I feel like I've seen you guys push that before this, which comes in handy nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, even myself, so obviously with everything going on, our time at the brewery is pretty limited, but last week I was able to help out we canned 130 cases of Hazy Boy or whatever, but we've been taking delivery orders. So after we were done canning or whatever, I was like, all right, I'm going to go home. And one of the workers at DBY was like, well, you live up in like Roscoe Village, North Center area, right? And I was like, yeah. They're like, well, we have a delivery up there. Do you mind taking it? So, you know, I was the one, I can't remember what their name was, but like they bought four packs, two of Hazy Boy and two of Sunday Night Couch Cuddles. And then I was the one that delivered it to
awesome.
The store. So like, I don't know, that was pretty cool.
So yeah, and I know one thing, since we're not
kind of reminds you that time that Jerome, you know, we posted to IG where we were drinking, and then Jerome happened to be around and popped in.
Yeah,
like, you know, like 33 minutes after we made this post. it was funny, yeah. But no, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
Oh my god, no, you're fine. No. Yeah, and like that's the one thing. We have we have a pretty solid like city presence in terms of at like bottle shops and corner stores and whatever. But we don't have a ton of like suburb presence. That's mm-hmm. one thing I think we're gonna start doing maybe every other week is, you know, place an order online and either Jerome or I, Eli hates the car or else we bring him. Eli's our son for
anyone that doesn't know, we have a son.
or anyone who doesn't know what his name is. He hates his car seat, so we don't take him in the car unless we have to. But we're going to have either Jerome or myself go out there and just do like
door-to-door
delivery. We'll be wearing gloves, we'll be wearing a mask, and you order it, pay for it online. We'll drop it off on your front door and text you when it's there. But that's one thing I think we're going to start doing, like I said, every other week, probably on Saturday or Sunday.
And honestly, like, it's a really weird situation. Obviously, everybody knows that, but I am usually a very, very pessimistic person. But the one thing that I feel like we have going for us right when this was starting is we had about 400 cases that were canned all within basically a week of the shutdown. Okay. So we have a lot of cans that are sitting that we can deliver to our accounts. They're available out of the retail shop. Like our draft accounts, we love them. And it really, really sucks that they're going through this, but I feel confident in the decision of, let's do a bunch of cans because our cans are selling faster than our draft is. And, I'm really glad we made that decision, and we got two new beers that will be coming out. And one might come out next week, and one might come out the week after. They're two of our more popular beers, but like we have product that's available.
That's cool.
And people are buying. I mean, it's obviously it's not as lucrative before all of this, but like we're still making decent sales, and it's amazing.
Really,
yeah.
It's pretty amazing. You know,
guys.
Yeah.
Sorry. From a brewery standpoint, like if you're a crew that has a lot of kegs and like you said, it's more difficult to move kegs. Are breweries considering repackaging that stuff? Is that a thing that brewers would do?
So it's the problem with that, because I've mentioned this a couple times when we've had like, you know, we've sold out of all of our cans of, you know, Divinations or Coffee Milk Stout, and we still have like 8 kegs of it. The chances of the beer becoming oxidized from canning from a keg. Ooh, sorry.
I'll do that all the time.
Is so much higher. So there's a really big risk of oxidizing the beer.
And
it's possible, but there's a much bigger risk.
Yeah. So like it's definitely something that you can do. Whether you want to do it, that is up to each individual.
It's not
group.
Ideal.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to lose a lot. I say this coming from our canning machine, but if you can from a keg from our canning machine, you're probably going to lose about a third of that keg just a waste of canning it, right?
Yeah.
Because there's just extra, you know, foam and stuff coming out. That's unfortunately probably the case. You know, usually in a barrel of beer or two half barrels, you'll get about 10 cases. I would say if you can from a keg, you're probably going to get seven cases instead of 10, just going directly from the bright tank.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
So it's super doable.
Well, there's just a lot of waste.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like filling a crowler, but
yeah,
when you think of a crowler, you don't think of, you know, a crowler is fine, but to me, it's not like the ideal drinking receptacle.
Yeah, everyone's realizing that they drink a lot more as they're buying beers to deliver and being at home. And they're like, I guess I really did go out quite a bit.
That's the one thing we've noticed. We have a big shelf at District Brew Yards of like low fill cans or cans that just are
dented or whatever, didn't get a label.
Ones that we don't feel comfortable, you know, putting out on the market because they're not up to spec. So that's the one thing that we've been doing a lot is we've been filling up a lot of cases of just low fills, but usually they're unlabeled beers. So we never actually know what we're getting, which is really fun, but also super dangerous. There was one night I drank.
Beer can roulette is definitely a thing in our household where we have basically our crisper in our fridge is our beer shelf.
Yeah, because I got really annoyed with having no food, no refrigerator.
Yeah. But, like, our crisper is just, like,
full of beer.
Four deep and maybe seven or eight across.
Yeah.
And it's just blank cans. And it's like, all right, well, we'll grab one, crack it open. And
that was a 13% stout.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. There was one night, and I honestly shouldn't say this. It makes you sound like a really bad mom. Jerome was at the brewery, and I had worked at the brewery earlier that day. And I was home with Eli, and it was late enough that I knew that he was asleep, but he was young enough where it wasn't really like a sure thing that he was down for the night. It kind of was like, I'm going to have a beer while you sleep and let's see when you wake up. And he just sort of kept sleeping. So I just kind of kept drinking blank cans. And then all of a sudden he got home and he was like, are you drunk? I was like, I have no idea how that happened, but I can barely stand. And like, Eli was still sleeping and thank God. Oh my God, this makes me such a bad mom.
Well, you didn't have to tell everybody about it.
But it's just,
there's mom doing worse than that.
So to put this into consider into whatever, I had three beers in the time that this was going on. I had three beers and I had also recently given birth, so my tolerance was terrible. But I had three beers and I have no idea what any of them were, and all I know is I could not function. Beer can roulette, it's super
That's fun.
Beer super
well, so like last Sunday, you know, we do our Shotgun Day videos every Sunday or whatever, but like we've been doing a lot of blank cans. And when we do the blank cans, it's like, all right, we have to guess what this is. So I think I've been right most of the time. I think there's only been one where I'm like, I have no idea what beer this is.
Yeah.
And that's, hey, plug for DBY. That's a cool thing about it is when we're open and we're not in shutdown, at any different time, you can try 40 different beers. All 40 of those beers get canned, and there's always going to be low fills or unlabeled ones. So... there's a lot of variety where you can be like, all right, is this Casi Humilde? Is this Around the Bend? Or is this Burnt City?
Or is this us?
Or is this us? Yeah. I think tough. I know our beers well enough.
Yeah.
That's fun. So right before the shutdown, you guys were out in Boston brewing with Sam Adams. And
the American Dream.
That news kind of happened, or that all kind of coincided with the Great American Beer Fest, right?
Like, yes. So, kind of.
Do you want me to tell a story, or you want to tell a story?
Which one?
Well, just like how it all got started.
When we were trying to get funding for the brewery, we were told by Chase about Axion. So Axion is a small business lender. And they specialize in small businesses
in Illinois and Indiana.
The one in obviously in like the Midwest does. And they work with Sam Adams for this program called Brewing the American Dream. So our small business loan came from sort of this program. So with that came speed coaching, where once a year they bring basically a bunch of different people from Sam Adams and they sit them down and they do speed coaching. So we can sit down with somebody who specializes in sales, human resources,
marketing, accounting, taxes,
brewing, legal.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything.
So with that, they also have a thing that's called the Sam Adams Experience Ship. So the Experience Ship, you have to apply for it. It's only available to people to breweries who have received.
It's breweries.
Because
Brewing the American Dream is a program that does other businesses. Because there's like barbecue businesses. But they do a lot of stuff with breweries, obviously.
I'm gonna let you finish.
You're gonna finish. So Axion, we were part of the Brewing the American Dream program. So we've met Jim Cook 3 times now. The first year, it's a long story. I'll try to keep it condensed as much as possible. But the very first year that we went to the speed coaching event, we met Jennifer, who is the head of brewing operations for Boston Beer in Massachusetts. Wonderful woman. Absolutely. She's like one of the nicest people
I've ever. I do believe her job title is different these days. I think
she's the director of the Brewing the American Dream program.
She's the one who heads this up. She's the top when it comes to this.
But she was director of brewing operations for Boston Beer. So when we first met her, it was right when I think it was before we even got licensed, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that was in like September of 2016. We were officially licensed in November of 2016. So like at the time we were still hand printing all of our labels from our home computer, hand applying them, everything. So we took a couple of our bombers, she tried them. And if you guys remember our beer Kiss that we've retired, that was the beer that we took her, but we took her a couple different versions of it. She's like, all right, so the plan with this beer is you're going to have, you know, the same base beer, but you're going to switch out one ingredient, whether you're switching out the hops, the malt, whatever.
Yeah. She's so like, it was a smash beer. It was a single malt and single hop. The one that we predominantly did was Pilsner malt with citra hops.
Okay.
So we gave her some samples, and on one of them, she's like, all right, there's a noticeable off flavor here, but the other ones are really good. I think you'd have some, right? So that was first year. Second year, we go back, and at that point, we were with Lake Effect, and we were mobile canning. So this second year event, speed coaching event we went to, we had cans, and we showed her, like, hey, we're in cans now. She's like, oh, my God, that's amazing, because I remember you guys from last year, and you were printing your labels off from your home computer
with off flavors in your bombers, like
So she's like, that's amazing, like, we've watched you guys grow. So then that second year, we met with Jim Cook, and you know, there's a picture floating out on the internet with him kissing the Kiss can somewhere. But when we talked to Jim, he's like, if you're ever gonna make any money, you have to open a tap room. We're like, all right. Third year, which was this last summer when Sherry was pregnant.
Where are these meetings, by the way?
They were at the Binnie's on Marcy.
Oh, it was local. It was all local.
Yeah, it's all local. This past year was at the Hatchery, down in.
Oh yeah, that's Garfield Park.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's either Garfield Park or Douglas Park, because for some reason I always confuse the two. But yeah, it was right off Lake Street.
Yeah, that's like a new spot. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. That building is beautiful. Yeah,
that's a cool space.
Axion's there now.
That's their headquarters.
Yeah, it's their headquarters. Awesome.
So this past or last summer, they had the speed coaching event at the Hatchery, and Axion asked us to donate a couple cases of beer for the event. We're like, no problem. So we met Jennifer, and met up with Jennifer and we're just like, oh, you know, we took Jim's advice and we opened a tap room and I showed her a couple pictures of brew yards on my phone. She's like, oh my God, like, that's amazing. I remember you guys when you were still hand printing your labels and applying them. She's like, this is amazing to see you guys going from that to having this beautiful brewing space. Like, this is really impressive. That's really, really cool. And we're like, you know, we appreciate that, blah, blah, blah. So the next day, maybe 2 days later, the people from Axion are like, hey, we know you've applied for the experienceship the last couple of years and you haven't got it. You should
definitely apply this year.
You should just definitely, yeah.
Apply.
You and really we're like, should. Well, you know, we haven't got it because we did apply to it. We filled out the application for it when we were in Brussels on our honeymoon to try to get it in by the deadline.
Okay.
So, like, we applied for it or whatever, and we didn't get it, and whatever. So, this year we were told by the Axion folks, like, yeah, definitely apply this year. So, we took our application from the previous year and changed a few words. And
no, we didn't. I wrote a whole new application. I wrote a whole new thing. Yeah, so we applied for it. We got it, which was awesome. And so basically what that includes is they flew us out to Denver for Great American Beer Fest. So it was about 2 weeks after, which was awesome because Eli was about a month old when we found out. So he was about 6 weeks old when we left. It was our first time away from him.
Okay.
So we left on a Thursday and got back on Sunday. It was absolutely incredible. It was the craziest beer festival I've ever been to in my entire life. We ended up not even actually attending Saturday night because at that point our livers, I think, were so mad at us because we went to...
That's a wild ride. That whole week is wild, man.
We did Thursday night, and then we did a luncheon with Sam Adams and Dogfish Head where they announced us as the winners of the experience ship on Friday morning. And then we did the rare session. We did the rare fest on Friday afternoon. We did the fest. We did Great American Beer Fest on Friday night. We did Great American Beer Fest on Saturday day, and then by Saturday night, we were just like, "Nope, yeah. I just want to sleep. Let's go back to the hotel. Let's go to the pool." And we ended up falling asleep. We ordered Taco Bell delivery. Fell asleep at 7 p.m. in our woke up at 9:30 p.m. and he was like, you want to go out and do anything? And I was like,
nope.
Sure don't. And woke up at like 9 a.m. the next day. It was
nice. All right.
So that was part of the experience trip. And then they flew us out to Boston and we sat down with a lot of different members of Sam Adams' team.
First time in Boston?
I'm from there, so no.
Oh, okay.
it was so weird to just like, you know, I mean, granted, I grew up like 30 miles outside the city. So, you know, what's 30? It's a little bit closer from like Naperville from Chicago, but.
Yeah, maybe like Downers Grove.
Yeah. So like, I've always considered myself like being from Boston, even though I'm 30 miles outside of it. But it was so weird to be back there for work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm here on a work trip. The city I've literally grown up in, which was really, really fun. And it was so nice. We ended up doing so my parents are retired. They live on the Cape now. But my dad does Boston on foot historical tours where he brings people to historical places around Boston. There's still a lot of them around there. And so what we decided to do was sort of a bulldogs tour of Boston, where we went to like different really historical locations. Our goal was to like historic. So we did this on our Instagram, we're like historical location, bar, historical location, bar. We had one bar that day because we were pathetic. And it was super fun. It was a really fun day.
This is a terrible thing to say, but I'm going to be 100% honest here because I try to be as honest as possible. Like, having a day away where you don't have to worry about a baby and you can just, like, walk around and do whatever you want. It was fantastic. Yeah, I absolutely love my son, but, like, a full weekend away where...
Yeah, my parents took him on Saturday and we didn't get him back until Tuesday. Oh, nice. God, it was so nice.
Really nice. Got to catch up on the...
Sleep?
30 hours of sleep deprivation that I'm still trying to catch up on.
So then, what did you guys brew, or can you say what you brewed with Sam Adams, or how was that experience doing that?
So we sat down with them like 2-3 weeks before we actually brewed. And so kind of circling back a little bit where we've been drinking more lagers, I've been a firm believer that I think the pendulum is going to swing back a little bit. And I think the next big trend is going to be, for lack of a better term, interesting lagers, where it's a lager, it's a super crisp, clean, easy drinking. You can have a few of them, but there's just going to be something a little bit different about it that's going to keep the beer enthusiasts intrigued, right? So that's kind of where our mindset was going into this. So our thought process was, how can we make a juicy pilsner? So for better or worse, we're cheating a little bit because Sam Adams has a centrifuge, because they're huge and they can filter their beers with a centrifuge. But basically what we did is how their brewer described it was a juicy crispy boy to kind of like bring in the, you know, hazy boy reference or the don't drink beer reference or whatever. But we're basically doing a pilsner where most of the hop is coming in at the whirlpool and the dry hop. So you're still going to get a super crisp 5% pilsner, but it's going to have, we used Vic Secret and whole melon in it. So you're going to get those citrusy flavors on top of that super crisp, clean 5% pilsner.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be really, I know it will be, but it'll be really nice. It'll be like really crisp and clean and just a really nice beer for the summer.
There's so many.
People can drink it outside on the patio somewhere.
So many different lager ideas that I have for this year. And it's not necessarily that I want to like become known as a lager brewery. I think if we can make good, consistent lagers, I'm hoping that maybe we'll start turning heads a little bit and like, oh, these guys are solid because they can make a clean lager, they can make great sour beers, and they can make hazy IPAs, and they can make other stuff, and it's all good. Like, I don't know, that's been a little bit of a struggle of the last year, is like really finding what our voice is as a brewery. Mm-hmm. And we always thought like we were going to be just 100% honest, like Off Color and Pipeworks are my two biggest influences. I love those guys. They're the ones that really, really, really got me into craft beer, because I used to live 3 doors down from West Lakeview Liquors and I was in there all the time. So like anytime something new from Pipeworks would come in, I'd go and get it. And when Off Color came to the scene, same thing. Like I truly love those breweries, and that's kind of always been my mentality. But I feel like with Pipeworks, they are well known for their IPAs and their stouts. And then like Off Color is just kind of known for their weird stuff. And in my mindset, I've always just wanted to be like a really, really well-rounded brewery where we can do really varying styles very, very well. Like the breweries that have their niche, that they only do hazies or they only do stouts or whatever it may be, that's awesome. But I just want, I don't know if that's a good thing or if it's a bad thing, but I want to be like a well-rounded brewery where you can be like, okay, I have different options here. It's not going to be 12 different IPAs that are all the same base with one different hop or whatever it may be. I mean, that's a little controversial, but I mean, that's the mentality I've always had. I want to be a well-rounded brewery that we can make multiple styles that are not only going to interest people, but like get them coming back to our stuff. That's always been my mentality.
Yeah, Brad and I did we did a beer pass after dark once, and it was like 12 IPAs from one crew. We're like, God damn, I mean, I don't want
we
to
did
say
that
this one tastes
twice
like the other.
With, you know, done
we're
it.
We're like, what the hell's going on here? Like, I mean, I really gotta, I gotta think this out, you know, because I kind of feel like this one tastes just like this one. I don't know. Oh, but Sam Adams, man, gigantic operation.
Oh my
how
God,
was
amazing.
How was the scene when you go out there? Is there are there multiple breweries? Like, or was it a criminal brewery and a big brewery too, or how'd it work?
Yeah, so they have a couple different brewing facilities. They have a brewing facility in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is, if you look on like the back of like a Sam Adams bottle,
that's their
usually,
major production.
Yeah. So
that, that's why they're always at a Great Taste, because they're technically within 500 miles of Madison. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have, which is really, really funny because I also used to live in Cincinnati. so it was funny to find out that there was a Sam Adams brewery there. Cause I remember just being like, I can't get away. Every city I moved to, they're there. and I remember being so disappointed they didn't have like a tap room at their, Cincinnati brewery. But they also have a production facility in Pittsburgh. So they're, spot in Boston,
Jamaica Plain.
Yeah, it's in Jamaica Plain, which is an area just west of Boston.
I've been to that one. Funny enough, I went on. It was during Oktoberfest, which is very weird for Boston. So there's not
really that there.
Yeah, so
not a lot of German people in Boston.
Yeah, they were doing something that day, and we went and. But it was very, like, we went for a tour, and then, like, hey, we're having an Oktoberfest party. Do you want to stay? It's, like, $30. We're like, okay. And, yeah.
So if you took the tour at Jamaica Plain, so when Sherry and I first started dating, I can't remember what you and your sisters and your mom were doing.
Oh, we went.
You're dress shopping, right?
We went wedding dress shopping, even though we weren't engaged yet.
Nothing crazy. We weren't engaged yet, but she went dress shopping.
It's so... Okay, wait. Hang on. I feel like I need to defend myself just a little bit here. You already had a ring. You already had a ring. I knew you already had a ring. I wanted to go with my mom and my sisters dress shopping. I did not know about this appointment. I ended up actually buying a wedding dress this day. I did end up obviously marrying the guy that I bought the wedding dress for, and I did still wear the dress.
Okay, all right.
Lovely dress. It was beautiful. It would not change a thing, but I do know how crazy that makes me sound, and I'm fully aware of the fact that I bought a wedding dress before I was engaged.
So I did not know about that. And Sherry's dad.
I was going coat shopping.
Sherry's dad was like, oh, hey, like, the girls are going to go do something today. I got some stuff planned. Are you in? I was like, yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but we literally were like, Dad, you need to entertain Jerome that day. You need to find something to do because he can't know what we're
doesn't
doing.
Doesn't surprise me. But Sherry's dad took me to Sam Adams in Jamaica Plain, and, like, we did the tour or whatever. And I think that was probably the most surreal part about the entire experience was – 5-6 years ago, I was on that tour, and then the day that we were brewing the beer, I was up in the brew deck watching the people take the tour, and that was just like a really cool thing. It's like I was there, and like even
now I'm here.
And you know, Sherry's parents came with Elias later in the day after we're done brewing, and
a really nice picture of sort of our little family up in the brew house.
Yeah, but it was a really cool thing to be like, you know, Sherry's dad's name's Dave. I was like, Dave, the last time we were here, we were on that tour. Like, this is crazy how things have progressed and where we're at now. It's been amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's going to be funny if next week or in 2 weeks it comes out and it's like, oh, and look, now District Brew Yards and Sam Adams are partnered, and now it's a whole different company. It's all part of Sam Adams now.
That's cool. That's not the secret.
Yeah, that is not the secret. That is not happening. I feel like that would be ridiculous. No, that is not.
Gotta put it out there so they force the no. I gotta force that. That's not it. All right.
So that'd be really funny though if we were just like, dude, you can't say that.
Mm-hmm. So is the beer going to be, is it supposed to be kegs and then
like, so it was supposed, yeah, it was supposed to be District Brew Yard's exclusive, but with everything going
as
on.
As well as their tap room in Boston, yes. Just outside of Faneuil Hall. Brand new tap room just opened up like a month ago.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, it was beautiful. But, so the plan was they were going to send us half of the batch that we brewed, and we would put that as an exclusive at District Brew Yards. Mm-hmm. But since we can't pour anything out at District Brew Yards yet, we're trying to figure that out. So the original plan was this beer, because it is a Pilsner, it's going to lager for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So the original plan was releasing it during
Craft Beer Week.
And yeah, we would probably tap it the night of Bug. And yep, maybe, I know Around the Bend's anniversary is the same week as Bug. And last year we kind of did an unofficial party at DBY. So that was kind of our plan. But with everything that's gone on in the last 3 weeks, we don't know. Like,
yeah,
we're really playing it by ear.
Yeah, we don't even know if there's a craft beer week anymore. Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, nothing. We have no idea. I would honestly, at this point, I would assume.
I would assume not.
Or maybe we push it back.
Yeah, it got postponed. So, but does that mean, is it postponed, or is it that at that point it's like that doesn't really happen? Like,
I think there's postponed indefinitely.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, like, I feel like our relationship with you guys really stems from what used to be Chicago Craft Beer Week and is now Illinois Craft Beer Week. Because I think the first time we really met was at Timber Lanes.
Yeah. Bowling with the Brewers. That's always, that's a good event.
Oh,
I kind of miss that,
I
honestly.
Do, yeah.
High Life and White Russians.
That's yeah.
Yep.
Now, as part of this process, you guys, how was the meeting Sam Calzione? Because he was, I think, you guys were with him when you guys did the official announcement, right?
Very, very brief. It was actually, I wish we had a chance to talk to him a little bit longer, him and Jim. Sam would have been a really cool guy. So we used to watch Brewmasters on Discovery Channel. Which
was he was one of the first big beer personalities
of
the modern era.
Yeah.
So we used to watch that. So it was really, really cool. So we, like I said, we met him super briefly at the breakfast that they did with Sam Adams and Dogfish Hot. Super brief. It was, Jim was actually in Munich for Oktoberfest.
And he video conferenced.
Yeah, he video conferenced in. But we met Sam super, super quickly. I would assume that at some point, if we ever get down to like Delaware or something, we could probably set up like a, met you once.
I'm not going to name any names, but unfortunately, whatever. There was a Chicago beer blogger that was at this like media press luncheon or whatever you want to call it. And like, we're sitting at one of the tables and he walks by us and I feel like our bulldog shirt that looks like the Chicago flag is fairly recognizable if you're in the industry.
At
or
least
whatever.
The Chicago flag is. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So he like walks by us and he's like, aren't you the owners of Bulldog? And we're like, yeah. He's like, why are you guys here? And we're like,
we
got
officially tell you yet.
Yeah, and we're like, we got invited. And he's like, oh, cool. Do you mind if I sit next to you? And we're like, yeah, you know, whatever. So he sits down next to us and like they do their opening statements or whatever, and like, oh, and we want to announce our winners of the 2019 Experienceship winners, Bulldog Beer Company. And he's just like, wait, what? As he was sitting next to us, he's like, holy shit, guys. Like, I don't know.
Awesome.
That made me happy a little bit.
It's really cool. You know, it was awesome to sit down with them. You know, we're a small business, and we know that there's things that we do wrong. You know, we always sort of joke and say, we don't take much seriously when it comes to, you know, us. The only thing we really actually do take seriously is the brewing of the beer. And that's sort of about it. Everything else, you know, we always try to have a good sense of humor about stuff. But the one thing we kind of realized is, you know, neither one of us went to school for you know, entrepreneurship or business.
We've built this business from the ground up.
We have no idea.
I'm an art major.
Well, yeah, and I went to school for hospitality. So, like, I'm super good at hospitality, right? We had no idea what we were doing. So we had, it was nice. We got to sit down and talk in depth with so many people within the Sam Adams business. I mean, we got to sit down with
head of sales, head of marketing, head of Perrine Innovation,
head of accounting.
Head of accounting.
Huge for us.
Jim Cook. It was amazing.
It was, yeah. We brought an entire suitcase full of beer there. And I was like, great, this is awesome because we'll have so much extra room coming home. We ended up with even more beer coming home.
Right.
We also
good problems. Good problem.
The hotel that we were at, we were at Hytrillium. The new one just opened up in Boston. So we, you know, did that. And we just, you know.
It was fantastic. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity that, you know, Nick, before you joined in, like we were talking to Brad, and I said on a personal note, it's been a little frustrating because I feel like none of our peers and no one in the Chicago scene really has paid attention to it. Like, I don't know any other brewery that has brewed a beer with Sam Adams, and it's a very personal thing, but it's a little frustrating. It's like, this is a big deal and no one seems to care.
The only crew you can think of that's even come closer is probably the guy from Sketchbook. I think he won like the long shot competition, which is affiliated with Boston.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but yeah, you never hear about a Boston beer, a Chicago brewery company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A Chicago brewery collab. I mean, you never hear about that.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, we're still very small. I understand that, but I don't know. It's just one of those things. I feel like it's a big deal.
It was an absolutely incredible opportunity. We really are excited.
It's a huge deal. I think a lot of people have brushed off Sam Adams, especially like new people who have gotten into the beer.
Brewery in the United States.
It's funny. I can remember they were the barometer too, right? Like when the Brewers Association would say, "Oh, now our barrel capacity, our barrel definition is 2 million barrels."
But
I will say
they're amazing. They're
side tangent, real quick. Like one of the coolest things was Dean, who he brewed the beer with. So you're all familiar with Utopus. Is it Utopus or is it?
I always thought it was Utopius.
Utopius, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just like the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I say wrong?
Utopus?
Oh. Utopius. So, yeah, Utopius. Sorry.
There you go.
But so like whenever they do that, they do it every other year. They let it sit in the barrels, right?
Yeah.
So Jim Cook, out of every batch.
So everybody in the entire company gets
not everybody, but
no, everyone.
Is it everybody?
Every single person who works for the entire company, they get their own personalized.
That's cool.
Bottle?
Ceramic
receptacle?
Yeah, the ones that you see.
it's a nice. It's a very nice packaging. Yeah.
It's
gorgeous. Also, I'm actually not going to admit that on there. Never mind.
But anyways, so whenever they package that, Jim Cook gets bottle number one. Dean, who we brewed the beer with, gets bottle number two. The only way you can move up on your bottle allotment is if you're no longer with the company. So, like, Dean's been there for 34 years. And
meanwhile, Sam Adams has been open for 31. And he has been with Sam Adams for 34. This man has literally been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
The commercials that you used to see where they would have people like smelling the beer, like they'd have like brewers in it, he was in that commercial.
Yeah.
It was around in like the early 2000s.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing.
It was surreal.
Yeah. There's no other way to describe it. It was a one of a lifetime opportunity that we're so grateful. We're so thankful.
Insanely grateful.
be a part of. It's been wonderful. Fantastic. Now, how does that translate into sales?
Well, yeah, hopefully, like, yeah, it gets your name out there with the folks out in Boston or in Massachusetts area, and just
which
helps.
Is not the important thing. Just like to go on record and say.
No, I mean, I don't know. It was a fantastic. If we could get into other markets, I'd obviously love to get into other markets. But for right now, I feel like we need to really decide what we want to be in Chicago before we venture out to the rest of Illinois, yeah, or Indiana or Wisconsin or Michigan or wherever else. You know,
still figuring it out.
I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but maybe this is the wrong mentality to have. I've never wanted to be like the biggest guy. I've always wanted to make enough beer that Sherry and I and our son is comfortable. We don't have to worry about things. I don't need to be a millionaire. It'd be cool. Don't get me wrong. But
awesome.
That's not what my life is. Like, my life is, I want to brew the best beer that I can. I want to brew the best beer that people are going to enjoy. And that's kind of all I want. I want to live comfortably. That's it. That's it. That's all I want in life is to make good beer and live comfortably.
Nice. Man, that's a, I don't know, it's been a fun ride. It's nice. It's great knowing you guys and talking all the time, and just especially when we could go into district brew yards and say, hey, what's up? What's new? What's happening here? And
I feel like we always, and I feel like I've mentioned this on the podcast before, we always talk to you guys whenever we've had like a massive life event.
Seems like it, yeah.
Every single time, it's always like, hey, we have this massive thing that just happened. Let's go on Chicago Beer Fest and let's chat about it.
Oh, and I mean, piggybacking off that, thank you guys so much for supporting us through the years.
Oh, yeah, it's been like,
I think we wouldn't have half the audience that we do if we didn't, you know, do these podcasts with you. So thank you guys so much.
Oh, that's cool. So district brew yards right now, you got $50 cases out the door.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Oh.
They were selling too quickly that we were afraid we were going to run out of product, so we had to pull the case.
Yes.
All right. That's a good thing, I guess.
It is.
Awesome. So no longer a case special, but
This is a drinking town, man. You put that shit up for sale. It's gonna sell.
That kind of town Chicago is. So we are open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 7. I believe on Saturdays we're open 11 to 7. We're gonna say 1 to 7 just to be on the safe side. We're available for obviously retail to-go sales only, as our tap room is not open. And our kitchen is currently not open either. We're open. We're also probably at your local bottle shop. So, yeah, go visit District Brew Yards and go, you know, buy a 4-pack of everyone's brewery and all 4 of us. But also go to your local shop and pick up a 4-pack of our beer there. Because it's probably closer.
That's something that we've been trying to do during the last couple weeks is, like, whenever we do a delivery, you know, this is kind of an idea that was piggybacking off of the marketing head at Sam Adams, but she's like, you really need to find your voice, right? So what we've been trying to do is, like, whenever we deliver something, we'll be like, bottles and cans is hashtag bulldog friendly, or bitter pops is hashtag bulldog friendly, or beer miscuous, or Cardinal Wine and Spirits, or whoever it may be. Like, we're trying to promote our accounts as much as promoting ourselves, you know, because if it's not for our accounts, we're nothing.
And then so you got 2 new beers coming out this month for sure.
Fresh cans
coming out.
We have Tilly coming out. Tilly's our mango and papaya hefeweizen.
Which we changed. Yeah, we changed the recipe on that one a little bit, and I think we've finally locked that one down.
The last time we made it, we got a couple reports that it was a little bit too spicy. Papaya gives like a spicy flavor sometimes to it. If you know, you're just sort of eating a pie. It's almost like a peppery.
Yeah.
So that's not a flavor really wanted in the beer. We wanted it to just be fruity and not spicy. Yeah. So we decreased a little bit of the papaya. We added a little bit more mango. So you really get a very nice rounded flavor.
Yeah. And then Gwen, which is Gwen. Our hibiscus and lime kolsch.
Nice.
That will be out probably end of next week, I'm thinking. And then Tilly will probably be the week after that.
So we're super excited. Then
I can't remember if I shared Sunny with you guys, but that was our Munich Helles with sunflower seeds.
I don't know if I've had that one.
That's it.
That one will be coming up. We wanted it to be in time for Mayfest, since Helles is like a traditional style for Mayfest in Germany, but with everything going on, you know, one of the side effects of everything that's going on is Omega Yeast Labs has suspended their operations.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
They suspended on the 23rd.
That's kind of surprising, because you see so many local crews that, you know, are still making fresh drops. You guys are talking about beers coming out. A lot of local crews are still rolling out beers. So that's kind of surprising.
So, from what I understand, so we had ordered the yeast beforehand, and we didn't, I think at that point, since we had already ordered it.
We had yeast and we had the ingredients for Tilly and Gwen. And it's like, do we want to postpone this or do we want to let the yeast potentially get old and not as viable? Let's just brew it. Kind of thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's kind of a big deal, right? For
it's a huge deal.
Typically have like a house yeast, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, when we were still at Lake Effect, we became really good friends with the guys at Omega, because we were
right next to them,
200 feet away or whatever it was. But I mean, we love Omega, but if they're not, it's a weird thing where we want to use their yeast exclusively, but if they're not open, we need to make some other decisions. It's not a decision we want to make, and we're going to go back to them as soon as we can, but we got to keep the ball rolling, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know? So are you guys planning to reuse more, or like start having some of your own half grow, like going on there?
So we originally had sort of chatted about house yeast, a Disagreeards house yeast. Because I know Cassie is great at house. Cassie's one of the brewers on the brew team. And she's wonderful. And that's, you know, absolutely something that she can handle. So I know there was talk of sort of doing that. I don't know if this is the time to start it.
I'm not sure what the Burnt City brew schedule has been, but their two-head boy Pilsner, we use the same yeast in their two-head boy as we do with our lagers. So there's potential that if they've done a two-headed boy recently, we could probably prop up the yeast and reuse the yeast that they've used for that. But things are just up in the air right now. Does it make sense to spend thousands of dollars on raw sunflower seeds to put in our Helles if we're not going to be open for a while? You know, like I love our Helles. I truly believe that is the best beer that we've ever done.
Yeah.
But does it make sense to brew 30 barrels of that if we're not going to be open and we can't sell it to bars and restaurants, if we're only going to do cans? Like, as much as I love that beer, that is kind of the flip side of the lager game right now, is they're not as popular as a hazy IPA. They're not as popular as a big pastry stout. They're not as popular as a huge, you know, ABV barley wine. It's just the fact of the matter. Unfortunately, they're just not as popular. So is it in our best interest to take that risk now, or is it, let's get into where everything is a little more normal again and then do that beer? And that's a thing that we struggle with every day.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I don't know. Yeah, so many moving pieces into all of this that continues to happen. Like, every time I talk to someone, it's like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you saw the other day that there's an article that came out that there's no more crawlers in the country.
I saw that.
Crawlers are gone. Because everybody bought them up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think Oscar Blues was a big player in that crawler space.
Yeah. Oscar Blues and October. So back when we were at Lake Effect, we had an October steamer that was literally fill the can, put it into a steamer, and one by one, and we were hand steaming every single can that we were doing while we were at Lake Effect. So, and now we have this great 7-head filler where instead of taking 4 hours to do 30 cases, it takes about 30 minutes to do 30 cases.
Funny. Well, cool. Well, thanks for taking the time tonight to talk to us. This is great.
Always end up making this so much longer than we mean to.
Yeah, sorry, we're talking.
totally fine. People need things to listen to. They're all stuck inside. They want to hear other people, hear what's happening, hear how businesses are doing and surviving right now. So that's cool. Yeah, thanks a lot.
I will say that for the most part, I'm a very, very pessimistic person. And for whatever reason, I'm the most optimistic about our future than I've ever been.
Oh, right. Nice. Okay.
And that's with the world in flames.
That's cool. So I guess what's the best place for people to keep up on when the releases are? District Brew Yard's page or info or your guys'?
Instagram
or Facebook?
Our Instagram, at Bulldog Beer Co. That's the handle for all of our three main social medias, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you don't want to follow us for some reason, you can follow at Brew Yards, and they will basically be giving you the same information.
Or, I mean, our website's under construction right now. That's one of the things that Jerome said, or Jerome is going to be focusing on during this break. Our emails will also be in there. So send us an email. It's jerome@bulldogbeerco.com or sherry@bulldogbeerco.com or hello@bulldogbeerco.com. We have a couple of them because,
because we get 25 email addresses with our email or our internet hosting package.
Yes. And Nick, where can people find what you're drinking at home or cocktails you're making?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm B-Red on Twitter, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're trying to do more of these over the phone interviews as we're all on lockdown. Talk to some other people that don't usually make it out and see what's happening. So we'll hopefully be back soon. That's been fun.
It was great. Great catching up with you guys. Great seeing you guys, man.
Thank
this is
guys
cool,
so
man.
I love you guys. Can't wait to see you guys face to face and
within like a 3-foot radius. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for supporting us over the years. It really means a lot.
Sure. Cheers.
Good to see you guys.
Cheers.
Stay home, stay safe.